Good morning.
Good to worship with you today here in person and also online. Some aspects of life never cease to amaze us, and not always in a positive way. Thankfully, God's grace is still amazing, as we're reminded of once again through our scripture readings for today's worship service. So I invite your attention to the
invocation on page 3 of our service bulletin. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you. O Lord, keep our ears attentive to your word through word and song. For the Lord is good, and his love endures forever. Shout for joy to the Lord, all the earth. Please stand. Have mercy on me, O God, according to your unfailing love.
According to your great compassion, blot out my transgressions, for I know my transgressions, and my sin is always before me.
We have come into the presence of God, who created us to love and serve him as his dear children. But we have disobeyed him, and deserve only his wrath and punishment. Therefore, let us confess our sins to him and plead for his mercy.
Merciful Father in heaven, I am altogether sinful from birth. In countless ways I have sinned against you, and do not deserve to be called your child. But trusting in Jesus, my Savior, I pray, have mercy on me, according to your unfailing love. Cleanse me from my sin, and take away my guilt.
God, our Heavenly Father, has forgiven all your sins. By the perfect life and innocent death of our Lord Jesus Christ, he has removed your guilt forever. You are his own dear child. May God give you strength to live according to his will.
Amen. Thanks be to God.
In the peace of forgiveness, let us praise the Lord. Let us pray. O God, you rule over all things in wisdom and kindness. Take away everything that may be harmful and give us whatever is good.
Through your Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen.
Please be seated.
On the second Sunday after Pentecost, a reading from Holy Scripture, Exodus chapter 3, Moses was correct. He was not worthy of the calling the Lord put before him. He needed the reminder, as do we, that the Lord is the one who does the calling, and he is the source of our worthiness. Now Moses was tending the flock of Jethro, his father-in-law, the priest of Midian, and he led the flock to the far side of the wilderness and came to Horeb, the mountain of God. There the angel of the Lord appeared to him in flames of fire from within a bush. Moses saw that though the bush was on fire, it did not burn up. So Moses thought, I will go over and see this strange sight, why the bush does not burn up. When the Lord saw that he had gone over to look, God called to him from within the bush, Moses, Moses. And Moses said, Here I am. Do not come any closer, God said. Take off your sandals, for the place where you are standing is holy ground. Then he said, I am the God of your father, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. At this, Moses hid his face, because he was afraid to look at God. The Lord said, I have indeed seen the misery of my people in Egypt. I have heard them crying out because of their slave drivers, and I am concerned about their suffering. So I have come down to rescue them from the hand of the Egyptians and to bring them up out of that land into a good and spacious land, a land flowing with milk and honey, the home of the Canaanites, Hittites, Amorites, Perizzites, Hivites, and Jebusites. And now the cry of the Israelites has reached me, and I have seen the way the Egyptians are oppressing them. So now go. I am sending you to Pharaoh to bring my people, the Israelites, out of Egypt. But Moses said to God, Who am I that I should go to Pharaoh and bring the Israelites out of Egypt? And God said, I will be with you, and this will be the sign to you that it is I who have sent you. When you have brought the people out of Egypt, you will worship God on this mountain. Moses said to God, Suppose I go to the Israelites and say to them, The God of your fathers has sent me to you. And they ask me, What is his name? Then what shall I tell them? God said to Moses, I am who I am. This is what you are to say to the Israelites. I am has sent me to you. God also said to Moses, Say to the Israelites, The Lord, the God of your fathers, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob, has sent me to you. This is my name forever, the name you shall call me from generation to generation. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Do you agree with the Apostle Paul when he makes the claim that he is the worst of sinners and doesn't deserve to have a Savior in Jesus? All of us could make that same claim. A reading from Holy Scripture, 1 Timothy 1. I thank Christ Jesus our Lord, who has given me strength, that he considered me trustworthy, appointing me to his service. Even though I was once a blasphemer and a persecutor and a violent man, I was shown mercy because I acted in ignorance and unbelief. The grace of our Lord was poured out on me abundantly, along with the faith and love that are in Christ Jesus. Here is a trustworthy saying that deserves full acceptance. Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am the worst. But for that very reason I was shown mercy, so that in me, the worst of sinners, Christ Jesus might display his immense patience as an example for those who would believe in him and receive eternal life. We join together. Now to the King,
eternal, immortal, invisible, the only God, be honor and glory forever and ever. Amen.
The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Psalm 98.
Sing to me, the Lord, a new song.
Marvelous things.
The Lord has made his salvation known.
And revealed his righteousness to the nations.
He has remembered his love and his faithfulness to the house of Israel.
All the ends of the earth have seen the salvation of our God.
Shout for joy to the Lord, all the earth.
Burst into jubilant song with music.
Make music to the Lord with the harp.
The harp and the sound of the singing.
Shout for joy before the Lord, the King.
He will judge the world in righteousness and the peoples with equity.
Please stand for the Gospel reading. A reading from Holy Scripture, the Gospel of St. Matthew, the 9th chapter. What is it that Jesus wants from you? A faith that doesn't just go through the motions. As Jesus went on from there, he saw a man named Matthew sitting at the tax collector's booth. "Follow me," he told him, and Matthew got up and followed him. While Jesus was having dinner at Matthew's house, many tax collectors and sinners came and ate with him and his disciples. When the Pharisees saw this, they asked his disciples, "Why does your teacher eat with tax collectors and sinners?" On hearing this, Jesus said, "It is not the healthy who need a doctor, but the sick. But go and learn what this means. I desire mercy, not sacrifice. For I have not come to call the righteous, but sinners." This is the word of the Lord.
Praise be to you, O Christ.
Please be seated.
Thank you.
Grace, mercy, and peace remain yours in great abundance, thankfully, from God our Father and through our living Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, that is the case. We turn our attention back to these words from 1 Timothy. Here is a trustworthy saying that deserves full acceptance. Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am the worst. But for that very reason, I was shown mercy, so that in me, the worst of sinners, Christ Jesus might display his immense patience as an example for those who would believe in him and receive eternal life. This is God's word, we pray. May the words of my mouth and the meditation of our hearts be pleasing in your sight, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Dear fellow redeemed by that rock and redeemer, the Lord Jesus Christ, and that alone is an amazing fact we ought not take for granted. What is it in life that can amaze you, and not always in a positive way? Just take a micro moment to think about that. Something that can amaze us, even though we should know better, amazes us not in a positive way, is how rude some people can be. Whether that be at the grocery store, might be the checkout person, might be the person in line pushing you, might be the person who rams their cart into you, might be in the parking lot. And maybe there's reasons for their rudeness. Legitimate, that's another story. I guess we can expect that rudeness in the community, but what's also amazing, and not in a positive way, is when people are rude in the church. Aren't we to be motivated by the gospel? And nothing can turn off first-time worshipers than someone being rude to them. What else can amaze us in a negative way? Again, how about how self-serving people can be? We really shouldn't be amazed at this, because by nature we're self-serving people. We see self-service people on display again in the community and sadly within the church. Well, what can amaze us in a positive way? The obvious one is God's grace displayed to you and to me in our life? What can amaze us in a positive way? How about how giving and generous people can be, especially in the church? When a need arises within the church or in the community, or a global need comes up, God be praised for how amazing people can be with the gifts that God has given to them. Well, what amazes us in a negative way will remain with us until the end of time. Until that end of time, let us not, though, stop being amazed at God's grace in our own life and what God can do through us and around us because of his grace. At the heart of that is the fact that God has shown you and me in the entire world population grace. This grace definitely is not deserved. The Apostle Paul realized this truth by the working of the Holy Spirit in him, and as he was stopped literally in his tracks by the Lord and his preachment of law followed by gospel. I mean, Paul rightly calls himself the chief of sinners as he takes a look at his life and why God's grace in his life was truly amazing. I mean, Paul just gives us a brief indication of why the Lord should not have shown grace to him. He was a violent man who sanctioned people, especially those who claimed to follow Christ, who sanctioned their death and stood by as people got killed. He was a blasphemer. misused the name of the Lord Jesus, even though he thought at the time he was doing the right thing, but later came to realize, no, I was in the wrong in the way I was brought up. Even though he was brought up in the church, it was wrong. A persecutor, a violent man, a blasphemer. Talk about someone that should not have deserved God's grace in his life. Paul admits it, that's me. And that herd of believers is still taking place today. I mean, there are still people who follow in Paul's original track of thinking it's the right thing to be a violent blasphemer, persecutor of those who claim to follow Jesus Christ. And yet for those people too, God is willing to show grace. And that's what we need to remember. That for those who are persecuting and advocating the death of Christians, that we pray for them, that God show his grace in their life and that they get stopped in their tracks and repent and come to relish God's grace as the Apostle Paul did. Because Paul came to realize and wanted to get out there this message that if the Lord could show grace to him, he will show grace to you. But how many people do you know struggle with that truth? Who think that they are not worthy of God's grace in their life, which is true, none of us are. But that doesn't mean it's not true. And so time and time again, you may have to remind them that it's not on your feeling of unworthiness or in the fact that you may doubt the fact that God can have grace towards you, but remind them of the fact that this is the case. And you can also remind them not only of the Apostle Paul, but of your own life. As we look at our own life, who of us deserves the grace of God in our life? We may not, in essence, be like Paul and rattle off how the violent incidences that we have been a part of and that we're a blasphemer and a persecutor, but in essence, we fit into all those categories. Even though we have not killed someone, and even if we have, there is forgiveness. But have we ever thought about it? Wished harm on someone else? Have we ever taken God's name in vain? And when we're called in the carpet on it, so what? Do it again. Have we ever been a persecutor, not of Christians, but maybe of our fellow Christian or of somebody else? Ever been a bully when you were growing up? Maybe you're still a bully. Social media. Do any of us deserve the grace of God in our life? And so that's what we can say to Paul. Move over. Pass that chief of sinners award to other people. Like us. Part of the problem is, though, is that we struggle with this self-righteousness. Well, I'm not as bad as that person down the street, or I'm not as bad as that person. I mean, look what I all do for you, Lord, or what I do for the community. I mean, how many people have said that? Surely you got to bury so-and-so, even though he never claimed Jesus as Savior, but look at what he did for the community. It's not based on what we do. It's based on what Christ does, and whoever claims to believe in what Christ does gets the benefits of what Christ has done. But self-righteousness clings to us all very tightly, and it needs to be broken day in and day out. I mean, how many people are disobedient of the Lord's expectations and yet still expect to be blessed, to have perks throughout this life? It's no accident that our society is the way it is. We have turned away from God as a whole. And yet we still expect God's favor. And when God doesn't give us his favor, it's, oh, God must not exist. Well, one day you'll find out you were wrong and don't stand next to that person. But may we not be that person. The problem is not with God. The problem is not with his law. The problem is with us not keeping the law. Chief of sinners though we be. At times we intentionally put God aside. Someone made the comment recently, you know, God is a priority until something else comes along. Then he's really not the priority. He's a God of convenience. God, when it's convenient for you, I'll come to worship. God, when it's convenient for you, I'll put your word and will into practice. Chief of sinners, though we be, undeserving of God's grace, and yet what is he willing to show us day after day? Grace. How much grace? Abundance. It's poured out generously toward us. And where's the focus of that grace? Not on us or what we do, but on Jesus and what he has done. That's amazing grace. And so that's why Paul says, here is a trustworthy saying. Here is something to build your life on. Here is a fact. Whether you believe it or not, this is the truth. That Jesus came into the world to save sinners, and we are the worst of sinners. But he came to save us. I mean, Jesus made that claim as recorded in the Gospels as well. I came to seek and to save the lost. We didn't even know we were lost. And he came to seek and to save us so that we would no longer be lost in our sins and on the road which leads to hell. And so Paul rightly says, build your life on this statement of fact. That Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. And he did that by going to the cross, where he took every one of our sins of rudeness and self-righteousness and self-indulgence and excuses to the cross and said, paid for. And when we do it again and again, that's what's even more amazing, is he did that even knowing we were going to fall into the same sinful ruts time and time again. He said, Father, forgive them. Even when they do know what they're doing, lead them to repentance and forgiveness. Talk about pure grace poured out on us generously and worked in us through the work of the Holy Spirit. Again, whether one believes it or not, what Jesus has done for us, it happened. It's an accomplished fact, objective justification. And that objective fact becomes our very own when the Spirit works in us, saving faith. And moves us to confess Jesus as Lord and Savior. The fact is there, and the benefits become our very own through the work of the Spirit. Again, pure grace. Nothing we do to deserve it. What a trustworthy saying. Prepare to be amazed as you contemplate God's grace in your life day in and day out. The Spirit connects us then through the means of grace, the gospel and word and sacrament, and keeps us connected so that we can grow in this grace and continually prepare to be amazed. And as we are continually prepared to be amazed at God's grace poured out in our life, then we also see how God has a purpose for our life. Part of that purpose is to give praise to God as we're doing right now through formal worship. Making him the priority. Not just saying, God, you are a priority, but actually showing that you are a priority. Even when we are sleepy, even when company comes or whatever it might be, God, you are the priority. Help me set the example for those around me. Because when I use other people as an excuse, what am I saying to those other people about God and the priority that I say he is? Well, then he's not really a priority. If he's not a priority to you, why should he be a priority to me? And then we wonder why people don't want to praise the Lord. God, help us praise him. Paul was thankful. He came to realize what the Lord had done for him. And over again throughout his letters, he reminds his readers how thankful he is, A, for God's display of grace in his life, and how thankful he is for the people God has put in his life. And for everything else. Prepare to be amazed in a good way. Give praise to him, keeping him as the priority. I mean, ask yourself, if you were God, and praise the Lord that none of us are, but would you accept the excuses that you offer up to him? And yet we expect God to accept those excuses. Prepare to be amazed at God's grace in our life. Grace that we wouldn't even show ourselves if she were on the other foot. Be an example as a way to give praise to God and recognize that as part of our purpose for him. Be an example of grace flowing through us. That's the importance of staying connected to the means of grace so that we can stay filled up and so that grace can pour out through us, through our words and our actions. Remember the goal. When we hold people accountable, we want to hold people accountable for their sins, but with a goal not to just shame them and leave them there, but to raise them up through the blood of Christ, that they are forgiven. God, help us put our faith in action to be his witnesses. You know, the influences for evil to go against God are very intentional. They've been working at it for a very long time. We need to be just as intentional in being the witnesses of Jesus, giving thought to how we can be, to what words we might say in this situation or in that situation, always being mindful of our actions, keeping in mind God is always watching us, but other people are watching us too. And yes, maybe there is a higher standard put on us because we are Christians and they know that. So be it. God, give us the grace to be up for that challenge. That's why Jesus said, be as shrewd as snakes and yet innocent as doves. As a church and as individuals, we need to be intentional about our witnessing and the sharing of the gospel. People can see the benefits of being clean, of taking baths, of showering, and living in clean spaces. I mean, use that as a talking point, perhaps, of the importance of being clean from sin and how we can be clean from sin, not through a bar of soap, but through the blood of Jesus. And how living in a clean space can help reduce the infections and so forth, how living in the grace of God with his robe of righteousness on us can keep us from the harmful effects of sin. Prepare to be amazed that God's grace has been poured out on you and that God has a purpose for you. Daily, his mercies are refreshed and in great abundance. God, help us then live each day with God's cloud of mercy and grace over us in place of the clouds called sin and self-righteousness, which tend to keep coming back to us. Prepare to be amazed as we live our lives filled with grace and with thankfulness. Amen. Please stand. The peace of God, which transcends all understanding, guard and keep our hearts and our minds in Christ Jesus. Amen. We join together for a confession of faith, the Apostles' Creed on page 9.
I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended to heaven and is seated at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From there he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and life everlasting.
Please be seated. We pray. Lord God, our Maker and Preserver, We praise and thank you for all that you give us day after day.
You are not worthy of all the mercies you show us.
You have given us
your precious word to nourish our souls and to protect us from the temptations of the devil, the world, and our sinful nature.
We thank you for those who teach and preach your saving truth at this place and everywhere. Grant them a rich measure of patience, wisdom, and love.
Heavenly Father, we pray that you shield us from every kind of danger, sudden catastrophe, terrors of crime, and the pain of disease. Watch over those who travel by land, sea, and air. Keep our loved ones from whatever perils may threaten them.
Heal those who are sick, cheer those who are sad, calm those who are distressed, and comfort all who are old and infirm.
Bless our land, our people, and those who hold offices of high trust. Keep our government and schools upright and strong for the advancement of good citizenship and useful vocations, that we may enjoy your gifts of peace, security, and well-being.
Grant your blessing to every nation on earth. Where there are wars, may there be peace. Where there is hatred, let it be healed. Where there is poverty, danger, or disaster, come with your almighty power to help and restore.
Lord, you love the cheerful giver, who with open heart and hand blesses freely as a river that refreshes all the land. Grant us then the grace of giving with a spirit large and true, that our life and all our living we may consecrate to you. Continue to shower grace upon grace on those celebrating a birthday this week, and help our married couples keep the spark in their marriage, moved by your love for each of them. Hear us, Lord, as we bring you our private petitions. We bring these requests before you in the name of Jesus our Lord and ask you to hear us. Take all that we have, our bodies and minds, our time and skills, our ministries and offerings, and use them to your glory.
We give ourselves to you that we may serve you in whatever way is pleasing in your sight. Amen.
And we also pray,
our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come. Your will be done on earth as in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours, now and forever.
Thank you.
pray. O Lord God, our Heavenly Father, pour out the Holy Spirit on your faithful people. Keep us strong in your grace and truth. Protect and comfort us in all temptation, and bestow on us your saving peace. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
Brothers and sisters, go in peace. Live in harmony with one another. Serve the Lord with gladness. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine on you and be gracious to you. The Lord look on you with favor and give you peace. Style a couple announcements. We're going through the Gospel of Matthew here in the church proper, starting at 9:30. If you're not able to make it, chapters 5 and 6 will be our primary focus this morning, Lord willing. And again, it gives us a good reminder of the purpose that God has given to us and how by grace we are to put his will into practice and what that will consists of. Friday night, we have our movie night, along with some games before the movie and tacos being served starting at 6 o'clock. The movie will start a little bit later after that. If you plan to come, you can bring a chair, or we'll have chairs here for you to use. Check out the weekly news for the things that are going on. And before we get into the Wells Connection, Chuck has a message of encouragement for us.
Good morning, everyone. I think most all of you know me as the chair of our Board of Stewardship. I'd like to give a brief update as we approach June 30th, the end of our fiscal year. Last April, I remarked about the continuous improvement in the looks and condition of our buildings and grounds. This progress has continued, again, thanks to our dedicated volunteers. The much-needed upgrade of the restrooms is completed. The courtyards project is nearing completion, and the next major project is repair and painting of our school buildings. That will be needing some funds to generate, we need to generate some funds to complete this work, find the money somewhere. Offerings to the operating budget had been on track throughout the year, but have fallen a bit in the last weeks. We ask everyone to see if we can give a little extra these days so we can finish a week strong and enter the next fiscal year without a deficit. You'll recall that our Not Without Purpose Phase 2 offerings are to reduce our mortgage and to also fund campus improvements and provide funds for the Tuition Assistance Fund. We pay the monthly mortgage obligation plus extra principal first, and then the monies that are left go into Tuition Assistance Fund and the funds for campus improvement. Well, last April, I reported that we had fallen behind in those offerings. We needed 12 through April, we needed about $120,000 for the year to date, and we're at $100,000, so roughly about $20,000 short, or about $10,000 a month. As a result, through April, the campus improvements funds and tuition assistance funds had received about half of the budgeted amount, each being about $10,000 short for the year through April. Well, that pattern has continued, so we need to emphasize the need for additional offerings there. Remember to use the monthly mortgage envelope and mark your checks Not Without Purpose Phase 2, and also mark that on the envelope. If you're giving online, simply adjust the monthly commitment. On a note of encouragement, our Not Without Purpose offerings to date will enable us to pay off the mortgage in 2029, nearly 2 years before the original scheduled date. Again, thanks so much for our dedicated volunteers and for operating offerings that are within striking distance of being on budget for the year. Let's see if we can bring those Not Without Purpose offerings at least close to budget also. Thank you for your attention, and have a blessed Sunday as we carry on in this broken world, living in God's amazing grace. Good morning.
Hi, I'm Wells President Mark Schrader. Our Synod has adopted the goal of planting 100 new home missions and enhancing 75 existing missions in the next 10 years. That effort has already begun. And these new missions are planning their ministries to create opportunities to tell their neighbors about Jesus. Here's one example of a church that's beginning to do just that in Durham, North Carolina.
Walking with God all the time through your life is transformative. And if you want to have an impact on the world right around you, there's no better way to do that than sharing Jesus with somebody.
This group hasn't yet launched public worship. As they prepare to, they're temporarily worshiping in their pastor's living room.
And he says to you today, I forgive you.
They were sent to Durham from a Wells church about 20 miles away in Raleigh to explore planting a new church in this growing area.
Because of what you have done, Lord, we have nothing to fear.
In order to do that, the group has been diligently trying to meet their neighbors and learn how to best reach them with the gospel.
My son, who's 7, plays baseball. He plays Little League. And we made a very intentional decision to move him from the league that he had played in for 3 seasons to a league that's based in Durham. And, for us, we live very close to communities in both Raleigh and Durham. And so we looked at the situation and we said, this will allow us the opportunity to be part of a Durham community and get to know people there better.
And as a group, They have been volunteering with various nonprofit groups in Durham to meet the people that they are hoping to reach.
We've just been trying to get into the city and just make those connections and just really get to know people in the area and try to make connections off of connections and just network that way to really just learn about the area and what's going to work here.
As they come to understand the cultural makeup of their community and what its needs and concerns are, they are able to move into the practical steps necessary in order to launch their ministry publicly.
So I would say we're moving along in kind of a logical, actionable sequence of, okay, now we need to have a space so that when we do go out and we invite people, where are we going to invite them to come to? So, you know, we're starting to go through those steps. And then there's just planning conversations happening, and eventually that's going to turn into more action.
All of this work behind the scenes is happening with their neighbors in mind and how they can best serve the lost souls in Durham.
We're just, by nature, we're not good listeners. By nature, we don't want to contextualize. We want them to understand us and hear what I'm saying and get into my shoes instead of, I want to walk a mile in yours. I want to understand what it's like to be a 20-year-old African-American growing up in Durham, North Carolina. Or I want to understand what it's like to be a 34-year-old tech woman who moved from Silicon Valley to here, because they all got interesting stories and they all got different perspectives, so that when we start talking Jesus, we can hit them where they need to hear it.
Despite being located in what's traditionally referred to as the Bible Belt, Pastor Lang says that 70% of the people in this area are not currently connected to a church.
They're not hearing the good news of Jesus. They're not hearing about the hope that they can have. Maybe they just never heard it. Nobody ever told them. But we have an opportunity to do that, to tell them about a Savior who loves them, a Savior who died for them.
And if we can start to shine lights into the darkness, this place will become a place of light.
We want to make decisions not based on the people who are here, but based on the people we're trying to reach for Christ. So in other words, what am I willing to give up? Am I willing to set aside my ego, my pride, my wants, my desires, the way I think a church should be run, so that that person might know Jesus better and see their Savior?
We ask the Holy Spirit to bless that, and God will bless it as He wills, and we trust that. All that we know is He told us to go, and so we need to go.
Wells hopes to plant many other home mission churches over the next 10 years, much like this mission in Durham, that'll uniquely reach their neighbors with the life-saving message of the gospel of Christ. You can learn more about the 100 New Missions in 10 Years effort and how you can get involved at wells110.net.